Welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Linda LeCoux, and we're here today with Dr. Jamie Galperin from Love Life Chiropractic right here in Cookeville, Tennessee. So the topic of the day today is something that I am sure you see in your office fairly often. So we're going to talk about headaches and migraines and different kinds of things that make your head want to explode.
Oh, yeah. And actually, headaches, that's my success story in chiropractic.
Really?
When I started my cycle, about the age of 14, I started having mild headaches, what I would call mild headaches, pretty much every day of my life.
Oof.
To the point that when I entered into chiropractic school in 2002, at the age of 22, I was like, when I didn't have one, I was like, wait a second, what's going on? Because I had started getting adjusted by students, not even professionals at that point, not even graduated doctors. I was getting adjusted by people that were practicing. And that all of a sudden I woke up one day and I'm like, wait a second. And I didn't have a headache. And then the migraines I would have once a month to twice a month, I wasn't having those either. And it was just such a something I definitely didn't even expect to have happen, or honestly didn't even realize was a problem in my life.
Well, and a lot of times when you are accustomed to normal low level pain, your body just kind of acclimates to it and it doesn't even register anymore. And so, yeah, I mean, from going through the back issues that I've had in my life, you know, and mine wasn't because of a cycle, it was because of a gymnastics fall. But, you know, same thing. You know, as I moved on, pain medication is something I reacted very, very badly to. So I just didn't take it and I learned how to deal with it.
Right.
And, you know, later on in life, when I was going through all the things I was going through to try and realign my spine, you know, you wake up one morning and it's like the magic sauce happened overnight and it's like, whoa, hold on.
Yeah.
Something is missing that should, no, it shouldn't be there. This is good.
Yeah.
But it takes a second for your body to adjust.
Yeah. It does.
So as far as migraines go, or any kind of headache, really, what is the most common antagonist that in the body that causes that problem?
From toxins, in my opinion, toxins, posture as well. You know, we can get busy at our desk job, you know, even driving posture, stuff like that. You know, it's real easy to just be slouching all of a sudden and have our head forward and carry what's called forward head posture, which with our head being around 8 pounds anyway, when you start to extend it forward, it becomes heavier and heavier. Our body, our shoulders, our spine, everything is taking that weight. So when you have improper posture combined with toxins through food, through not a good quality of water, through medications, possibly all kinds of different forms that it may come from, then all of a sudden now we are having all these overloads in our body and our brain can't take it. Our blood flow, the oxygen levels, nothing's balanced properly. And that really goes down to the biochemistry of the body.
Well, I mean, as far as, you know, that head forward posture, and I know one thing that I see a lot, you know, even in just teaching bend class, you know, you see people who their head starts to actually come back and sit on top of their shoulders again.
Yeah.
And really what it is like in bend class, we focus a lot on extension of the spine and stretching with, you know, your head out and your chest out and really getting that alignment that you need to have, you know, because it's based on ballet and gymnastic stretching. So it's getting that alignment that you see that ballet posture with, you know, the head up and the shoulders dropped and the straight spine and being able to balance even on just one foot.
Yeah.
Is something that is really an accomplishment for people when they're accustomed to that type of head forward posture. It's a really big deal when they can stand on one foot and not be assisted.
Yeah.
A lot of it, you know, if you look at what everyone is on today, their phone, you know, their little life tablet in the palm of their hand, which I'm guilty of too. You know, that head forward posture a lot of times can come from that, from the looking down.
Yeah. And I'm sure you saw the recent article that just popped everywhere last week about the bone spur in the back of the head.
Yep.
And so that went viral. So, you know, that's a stress that our body is physically showing and adapting to. And it's showing up on x-ray in people that now we're having this random horn in the back of our head just because we're looking down and creating that much stress and pulling from all of those muscles that attach right there to the base of our skull. It's calcifying.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's a problem specifically in teenagers as well. It's actually called text neck. That's a big problem to have that young in life when your body and your spine are not fully developed yet.
Teenagers haven't needed to get adjusted as much in life as they do now because of that aspect in technology, and adults too, you know, just because that has become such a way of our life that we need to reverse that tech neck in any way, shape, or form we can. And if we're going to be on it and do that, we need to at least make sure we're getting our spine aligned, doing proper postures, stretch classes, things like that to make sure we're supporting our column and our core.
Yeah. And a lot of times, you know, if you lean forward a lot, you know, it's almost the same thing that you see in some forms of scoliosis, is where you have like atrophy on one side and you have severe constriction on the other. And when you create that imbalance, it makes it that much more difficult to sit up straight.
Yeah.
You know, I see it with a lot of people who have a very, very constricted psoas muscle, but the muscles in their lower back on the other side are very, very loose. And it's because they're accustomed to leaning forward or slouching. And, you know, it creates shorter hamstrings and it makes it difficult to stand up straight, which then affects the peroneal nerve in the back of the knee. And it's a whole cascade of
things. Head to toe.
Yeah. That over time just start to happen.
Yeah. And it's really amazing how one simple thing that I've done, even on my own, you know, practice in my van when I drive, is I make sure my head is back when I'm driving, touching my seat. And I roll my shoulders up to my ears, like I'm shrugging my shoulders. I roll them back and then I relax. Mm-hmm. And then I put my head back and then I drive and I try not to keep my arms up, you know, at the good old, you know, higher parts. They're lower on the steering wheel. And so that way I can keep my muscles relaxed. I'm not creating that forward head posture of the pulling because my arms are up at, you know, 9 and 3.
Right. Yeah. And it makes such a difference. But, you know, most people don't realize it's not the one big thing that you do. It's the constant drip. It's the constant habit that you form. It's the constant realization that I need to realign this posture or adjust this seat or, you know, do this particular thing. It's that constant thing that you do all the time that makes the biggest impact.
Yeah.
You know, you can go and get adjusted by a chiropractor and, you know, it might alleviate your pain. And if you do that once a year, that's a decent thing for your body.
Right.
Okay. But only going when you're in emergency mode, your nerves and your spine are still under all of that stress during that 10 months that you're not going.
Right. And it takes time to retrain your posture. Yes. And so, you know, coming in, getting it adjusted and then just an adjustment and then going and sitting in the car in the worst horrible shape that you could possibly sit in driving home. You're not that you aren't still benefiting, but you're undoing some of that potential of what your body could have. So it's just really being mindful and paying attention and connecting with yourself instead of being distracted by the world, which we are so much these days.
Very, very true. Well, today we are in the studio talking with Dr. Jamie Galperin from Love Life Chiropractic right here in Cookeville, Tennessee, also with a location in Livingston. So we're going over today the topic of migraines and the different causes and things of that nature. One thing that is very often overlooked, and I've had this happen with clients in my office, is food. And so you mentioned toxins.
Yeah.
Give me a little info on that from a chiropractic perspective.
Well, you have toxins from water, you know, anything that may be in our water around, you know, from fluoride to possible traces of medication, you know, just even bacteria, viruses, you know, heavy metals, all kinds of things can be in water. And then when you're looking at toxins in food, preservatives, dyes, high fructose corn syrup, I mean, the list can go on and on and on. Antibiotics, you know, even in food and hormones, all of those things play a part into our blood flow to our brain, our nerve flow from our brain down through our body. And so the nerve flow and circulation that creates that life force within us, that's all so crucial. And when you have a mucky pond that is now your blood, it's not going to flow because you have those toxins. It's like it's built up with algae to a degree. And so we can't really do what we need to do. And that's why movement is important, exercise and getting that flow, because then at least we're getting those toxins out. But, you know, I don't want somebody to go and eat a 12 pack of tacos from Taco Bell and then go do some CrossFit, because all you're doing is pushing that poison through your body. Right. So you can't just choose, hey, I'm going to do health here, but then I'm going to fill myself full of toxins, because you're just wasting your time. You really need to look at the whole picture.
Well, and that goes back to one of the things I talk to my clients about, especially with working out, is I don't care how much you work out. You cannot train out a bad diet.
Exactly.
It does not work. In some way, shape, or form, it will eventually catch up with you. I do not care how much you work out, because the thing is, what you are fueling your body for is not just building muscle.
Right.
Okay. Every generation of cells in your body is made up of what you give your body as nutrition to make them out of.
Yep.
So don't be fast, cheap, and easy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what you're made of is how you're going to function. If you're, you know, a lethargic cheeseburger eater, you know, then that's, you're going to have lethargy in your life. Whereas I can even tell in myself when I'm eating more cooked food versus raw food. And one of the good golden rules that I learned from like some of the wonderful health documentaries on Netflix, like What the Health, Forks Over Knives, stuff like that, is the good old 52% rule. If you're not eating at least 52% raw at every meal, now they said even 50% is disease forming. It has to be 52% or more. Then you aren't eating the liveliness that you need. And I'll go days where I eat my good healthy meals, but they're all cooked. And then I'm like, why am I tired? And I check in with myself, you haven't eaten a big fresh salad in a day. No wonder you're tired. And so even though I was fueling myself with good, healthy, organic, you know, food, it still wasn't containing the live nutritional vibration that my body needed to function at that heightened level.
Well, and you know, you look at one of the things I use in my practice a lot is, you know, I base a lot of what I do on traditional Chinese medicine. It's been around for a really, really long time. Okay, you know,
for a great reason.
For a really good reason, exactly. It's kept a lot of people alive. You know, they talk about how eating with the seasons, you know, I think it's a really big joke that like locavorism is kind of looked at as a new thing. Yeah, no, that's been around for thousands of years.
So trendy now.
Yeah, it's so trendy. But you know, it's eating things, for those of you who don't know what that is, it's eating things that grow or have lived and been alive only within 100-mile radius of where you live. And the idea behind that from the TCM concept is that, you know, everything that is in the environment that you're currently in is perfectly adapted for this environment, this weather, the microbes and bugs in this area, the viruses and the fungi in this area, the pollens and, you know, things that are going to aggravate your histamines in this area. So the more local you eat, the more adapted your body gets to where you live.
Exactly.
And it's very, very true. And it's, you know, if you look at like in the wintertime when we're eating more soups and stews and cooked foods, and it slows your body down because when you're cold, your body slows down.
Right.
During the summertime when you're more active and you're outside in the spring and things like that, you naturally want and crave more raw foods because your body needs those things to be more lively, to get work done.
Exactly. And two areas where that I want to touch on with that is people understand the aspect of that with raw honey nowadays.
Yes.
The more local you get, the better you're going to be. And so that basic concept, if you just think about honey and then broaden that, that's exactly everything that you just explained.
It's the same thing.
And then another beautiful thing in Chinese medicine, and this is something that I learned through studying cancer. Basically, cancer will mimic the winter-like environment of your body. So even though raw foods are very, very good, it is really, really nice to make sure you're warming them with broths, bone stocks, soups, teas, medicinal teas, things like that, because it helps fuel that fire back up. And I've heard a lot when I was studying cancer, how they would relate cancer with mistletoe and how in the winter it just spreads like wildfire and it takes over everything and it's non-forgiving. That's a lot of what cancer is like in our body. However, this will be a whole nother subject for another day. Cancer too is still a healing. It's a self-healing immune thing that the body's saying, hey, I want to heal. It's not trying to destroy itself like we're taught to believe. But I just thought that was a cool connection of cancer and winter, because you mentioned the seasons
that
and it's
really
so true.
Is. Wow. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a break here real quick, and we will be right back with Local Matters and Dr. Jamie Galperin.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. We're here today with Dr. Jamie Galperin talking about headaches and migraines and all the different causes of these things. So one of the things that I have noticed from you know, working with people on posture and in bend class and things like that is foot strike.
Yes.
So when I was, let's see, prior to being pregnant with my daughter, this weird fad came out of wearing these shoes that had toes. And, you know, I didn't think anything of it, but I'm also someone who prefers to be barefoot.
Me too.
So when I saw shoes that kind of mimicked being barefoot, I was like, ooh, those look fun. So I got a pair of these shoes and started wearing them everywhere. I had a bunion on my left foot, because as a ballerina, I primarily turned, my left was my base foot. So all of that direct pressure going into that big toe kind of created that, you know, that buildup, that calcium buildup on the side of the foot. And it had become really painful, you know, because as years go by, you know, wearing constricting shoes and things of that nature, you know, it can cause a problem. And so when I started doing research on the shoes that I had gotten, because the more I wore them, the less pain I had. It was actually realigning the bones in my toes. Well, come to find out, you know, we only strike the ground heel first because of our footwear.
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, the more I looked into it, your sensory organs in your feet that are, you know, the most fine-tuned for sensing what you're stepping on are in your toes, just like in your hands, they're in your fingertips. So prior to the modern invention of hard-soled shoes, foot strike was primarily toe first, because what you had on your foot was essentially a leather sock, if you had anything at all. So it was something that was very, very soft. So in order to tell what you were stepping on, you had to step toe first. And, you know, if any of our listeners out there want to try this, if you get up and try walking around toe first, it is virtually impossible to slouch. Okay, you can't do it because of how you're shifting your weight.
I never really thought about that, but you're totally right.
And it feels weird. It feels really weird because you're accustomed to walking with slamming your heel into the ground first. And really, that only came about because we put things on our foot that were hard, which meant that our foot could no longer feel the ground. You have hundreds of nerve endings that go down between, you know, the metatarsals in your foot and go down into the toes, you know, which is why reflexology works. All of those nerve endings that are down there connect back to the rest of the body.
Yes.
So when you constrict all of those things and, you know, you're basically pinching minutely all of those nerve endings.
Yeah.
And it can cause problems everywhere. If you look at, you know, a child's foot up until adolescence, you know, the bones in the foot are malleable.
Yeah.
They're almost like a very hard clay. So they're going to shape based on whatever footwear you put them in the most. So if you put them in hard, constricting shoes, you can potentially create all kinds of problems.
Yes. And that's why I chose those nice little soft leather ones for my kids for as long as they cared, you know, didn't care, I should say, about, you know, fashion with shoes.
Right.
And I still try to get them to be barefoot for that reason as much as possible.
Very, very true. And when you walk with your heel first, yeah, and this is something that I recognized the more I wore my toe shoes, when you slam your heel into the ground, it sends a reverberating shock from the heel to the ankle, to the knee, to the hip, to the lower back, to the shoulders, and all the way up to the back of the head.
Exactly.
You can actually have someone, and I've dealt with clients who have had this, who get migraine headaches simply because of how their foot strikes the ground.
Yes.
And for no other reason than that.
Yes, that's so true. And in chiropractic school, they teach us what is called natural foot strike of the heel down, you know, and all that, and what's proper gait. However, they're not also looking at the evolution of things to that degree.
Right.
It's more of this is the medical proper, you know, educational box that we need to, you know, teach in. Even though a lot of chiropractic school is outside of the box, you know, I definitely agree with you on that, that when we do have those softer shoes, when we are walking barefoot, my chiropractor that adjusts me, he wears those shoes too. And they are great. And I need to get myself a pair. I'm just going old hippie style and barefoot as much as I possibly can everywhere.
Which is all, it's all fun and games until you walk into a store and they kick you out.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I wear my shoes. People crack up that they come to the doctor and then I'm sitting here barefooted. And and that's why, because especially when I'm adjusting, I also want to be grounded. But that's also why I don't have so many aches and pains and problems that I feel a lot of chiropractors do have with how strenuous the practice of chiropractic can be on our body. You know, putting that force, bending as much as I do, You know, it's really phenomenal when I think about how many people I adjust and how much I take on in a day. And then I go home and I'm so energetic and ready to just do what I got to do for my family, or even pick up my house or get to go to a ball game, you know, to see my daughter play. And if I was wearing shoes, I probably wouldn't be feeling so energetic, because I'm just heel striking and honestly, in ways, tripping over my own feet because of shoes.
Well, and in a lot of ways as well, I mean, your body functions on a, if you don't use it, you lose it basis.
Yeah.
Okay. So all that muscle structure that's in your foot that makes your foot strong, if you put your foot in a hard sole shoe and you're not using it, it's essentially like putting your arm in a cast.
Yeah.
And then expecting it to perform.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, once you take that cast off your arm, those muscles are all atrophied.
Yeah.
They're not strong. They are weak. They don't function the way that they're supposed to. Your body did not have to expend resources there to give it nutrients because you weren't using them.
Exactly. And just like you mentioned with reflexology as well, when you have especially shoes that are more binding at the toes, mm-hmm. and children, and we all know, you know, children headaches are skyrocketing in comparison these days too, but your big toe is your head, yes. in the reflexology chart. What are we talking about? Headaches. So, mm-hmm. you know, women in high heel shoes, men in tight shoes, or even pointy dress shoes, you know, for some men that have the jobs that they have to dress a little nicer. You know, footwear is very, very crucial in how our overall health is, because it plays a part into our posture. It plays a part into our gait, our heel strike, all of those things that you're saying too.
Yeah. And a lot of, you know, one of the biggest things I noticed in wearing a shoe like that, you know, even with having a background in dance. Okay. You know, I use my feet a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, you wear shoes that allow your feet to articulate, you know, at the end of the day, your foot is sore.
Yeah.
Okay. Just like your muscles would be if you went to the gym.
And it should be.
Because you essentially worked them out. And until you build up that muscle structure again so that it can hold your arch where it's supposed to, so that those muscle structures can cradle your heel and, you know, align your toes the way they're supposed to be, until you build that up again, your feet are going to ache.
Yeah.
And that's normal. And they should.
And it's totally okay.
Yes. And, you know, with all of those things being said, you know, if you look at podiatry, it's one of the few forms of medicine where to not be in pain means you're healed.
Right.
Okay. If you look at, you know, if you break a rib, okay, if they can put you in a position where you're not in pain, it does not mean you're healed.
Right.
It just means you're not in pain.
Exactly. Which is only 10% of what we really have going on and feel anyway.
Absolutely. And so, you know, if you look at podiatry, you know, putting yourself in cushier and cushier orthotics, whereas it might take away the pain, it's not really addressing the underlying problem.
Right.
Which is the fact that your foot is weak.
Yeah.
And so until you actually get some muscle structure behind it, you're not really going to be able to fix the root cause of the problem.
Right. And I see so many people with plantar fasciitis. It's unreal. And a lot of it is because of their heel bone is rotated inward mostly, mm-hmm. and it's locked down. Well, then that's pulling the fascia. Well, imagine what else that's pulling, exactly as you mentioned, all the way up to the head.
Very, very true. And, you know, going back to looking at shoes and feet, you know, that affects spinal alignment. It affects posture. It affects the way the vertebrae sit on top of one another. And I would imagine that that plays into migraine and headache and all of those things as well.
Yeah, very, very much so. Very much so. And with the good old high heels, you know, that's so popular in women.
Oh, but they're pretty.
They are. And I can do wedges, but I'll wipe out in heels. But, you know, even I notice on the days where I wear wedges, I try to be very limiting in the time that I wear them, because it creates what is called forward pelvic tilt. Mm-hmm. So both of your hips are rotating forward, and then that creates sway back in your lumbar spine. Well, then where do we have to compensate? Our head. Mm-hmm. And so we are throwing everything off. And a lot of women aren't even realizing that the main reason they're getting these headaches is because of high heels and mm-hmm. the shoe wear that they're wearing, not necessarily because of stresses, not necessarily because of some of the toxins they may be putting in their body. It starts with shoes.
Very, very true. We are here today talking with Dr. Jamie Galperin, chiropractor here in Cookeville, Tennessee at Love Life Chiropractic. The topic is migraines, and we just went over shoes and feet and high heels, even though they're gorgeous. Limiting the time that you wear them is probably a good idea. I have two kinds of shoes in my closet. I have either super fancy, uber girly, very high, really cute Mary Jane stilettos type heels, or I've got toe shoes.
Love it.
There is no in between.
That's awesome.
Well, this has been an amazing and eye-opening conversation about all the different things that can cause migraine, from toxins and food to spinal alignment and shoes and feet. So if someone wants to get more information on this topic or get in touch with you or have a consultation, how do people get a hold of you?
Just call me at either office. My Cookeville number is 823. Nope, wrong number. Sorry. My Cookeville office is 559-5433 and my Livingston office is 823-5433. So give us a call, schedule an appointment or a consultation. I would love to serve you, help you understand the pure brilliance that you are still working with inside of yourself.
Well, thank you very much for being here today, Jamie. This has been wonderful. And if you need to reach out to her, you can also find her on Facebook at Love Life Chiropractic. Thank you for joining us on Local Matters.